Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5TheFan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison, and I am excited to be here for one of the biggest Royals days, certainly one of the biggest off days that I can remember. The time has finally come. Jack Caglione is set to make his major league debut for the Kansas City Royals tomorrow against the St. Louis Cardinals. We have you covered when it comes to that right here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I got a chance to catch up with J.J. Cooper earlier today. We'll talk about what kind of prospects he believes that Jack Caglione is. I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of a sneak peek. He said that this is the most raw power talent that the Royals have had in their organization since Bo Jackson. We'll catch up with him coming up in just a little bit. Denny Matthews is going to be on the show. Cody's going to call back into the show. We're working on Rex Hudler calling into the show today. It obviously is a big, important Royals day, and we want to have you covered here on The Drive in 96.5 The Fan. Rob is never here when I need him. I am here. Rob had jury duty. He's got to do his duty as a citizen. He could have got out of it. Now, don't let Rob fool you. He was dismissed at 11:30, but since he'd already taken the day, Rob just thinks he can go outside and enjoy the warm weather and the beautiful summer day. Not me. I was here at work. Nathan, who you can probably see on the stream, Nathan got here at 1:52, just moseyed on in when he thought it was time. But no, I've been here. I got here at 10:15 today, making phone calls, making plays, wheeling and dealing, calling people. I'm working for you. Obviously, Rob's not. I don't know if Nathan's working for you or not, but I'm here. I'm excited to be here. And before we move on, let me ask you guys a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And number two, I need you to tell one friend. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two friends, but you know what? I'm not going to be upset. If you could simply ask one person to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate it. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll be joined by J.J. Cooper, the managing editor of Baseball America. There are not many baseball voices that are more knowledgeable when it comes to talking about minor league baseball than J.J. Cooper. He's going to be on the show coming up momentarily. All right. In my opinion, there are two different ways that you can look at the Jack Caglione move. One move is very, very positive. One move is a little bit pessimistic. Let's talk about both of them. The optimism, the hopeful one, the positive way to look at this is Jack Caglione was too good for minor league baseball. We have enough evidence, enough data points. We're talking about a guy who spent less than 2 weeks down in the minors. He played 12 games. He hit 320. He had an on-base percentage of 370. We're talking about a guy that was slugging 723. He hit 6 home runs in 12 games down in the minors. I think the Royals very easily could have given Jack Caglione an extra 100, an extra 150 at-bats when it came to the minor leagues. It was not going to matter. If you are simply keeping him down here to wait for him to fail to see how he can turn things around, well, I want to see how he deals with failure. I don't know if he was going to fail at the minor league level. We are talking about a player that so far in his baseball career has made everything look very easy. You got to be a really good baseball player to get a scholarship to the University of Florida. You then go to Florida, you dominate, you're a top 10 pick in the baseball draft, and you spend less than a year in minor league baseball. You dominated AA. They then moved you up to AAA, thinking that it was going to be a little bit different, a higher degree of difficulty. You hit 320. You hit 6 home runs in 12 games and had 10 RBIs. You were a beast down in the minor league level. I think the Royals were constantly monitoring Jack Caglione's progress and were asking questions. And I think they came to the realization, I'm not sure if being down in Northwest Arkansas or being down in Omaha is the best for his development anymore. I don't think those pitchers can get him out. I think he was going to consistently beat around minor league pitching. And the only way to know if he can swim is to throw him into the deep end here in the majors. And that is a chance that we are willing to take. This timeline has moved and moved and moved. And not just because of the Royals offense. And we'll talk about that here coming up momentarily. It is moved because Jack Caglione has been one of the best prospects in all of baseball. And this is what you do. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when the Texas Rangers did almost the exact same thing with one of their top prospects. If you got a guy at the minor league level that has shown the ability that Jack Caglione has shown at this stage in his career, it's time. So that's number one. It was time and we were ready to quit having the conversation, and it was time to take the next step of his career, of this organization's next step, and bring him up to the majors. That's the positive side of it. I think Jack Caglione was too good for minor league baseball, and they realized it this weekend and didn't want anything else to do with it. Bring him up here. Number two is the Royals pressed the panic button this weekend. There's no other way to look at it than the Royals pressed the panic button this weekend. I think the Royals saw a team come in here that they think they're pretty close to. And I think for the most part, they actually played pretty close to the Detroit Tigers. One team has an offense that they could win the World Series. The other team has an offense that they could miss the playoffs. The pitching is comparable, defensively comparable. There is not a wide gap between the Royals and the Detroit Tigers. The gap is the offense. And the Royals, for back-to-back days, completely squandered two great pitching performances. Squandered both of them. And I think the Royals had to be honest with themselves. They have done everything the last 2 weeks to try to get something going with this offense. They have pressed just about every button. You guys were tired of MJ Melendez. They got him out of here. You guys were tired of Hunter Renfroe. They got him out of here. You guys didn't want this person anymore. They made that move. You wanted them to call up this person, John Rave. You wanted them to call up Nick Lofton. Every move that Royals Twitter or the text line has suggested in the last 30 days, the Royals have heard you and they have done it. There was only one more button to press. Help is no longer on the way. Help is here now in Jack Caglione. And this is going to be their offense for the next 6 weeks. Now, maybe they do something with Michael Massey. I think that was what most people expected the move to be over Blanco, that Massey was going to be the one sent down. The Royals decided to go in a different direction. But that is the last piece of fat. That's the last dead weight that you think the Royals can potentially trim to try to get this offense going. It is very obvious that the Royals looked at Memorial Day and they looked at June 1 as a real sort of temperature check to where their offense is. And their offense is bad. Their offense is, I'm not even counting the Colorado Rockies in this conversation because I'm not sure if the Rockies are better than the Storm Chasers. I'm not completely convinced that the Rockies are better than the Durham Bulls. They're that bad. They're 9-50. So let's remove them from any conversation. The Royals might have the worst offense in Major League Baseball. They have the worst power, and it's not even close between them and everybody else when we're talking about home runs. The Royals hit the panic button. Their offense is a problem. We are drowning here, and we need to give ourselves some kind of life preserver, at least to hold us until there's some movement when it comes to the deadline and our ability to pick up somebody else that can give us a little bit of protection in this lineup. And they press the button. So I'm excited that Jack Caglione is here. I imagine that you guys are really excited that Jack Caglione is here. Next Tuesday at Kauffman Stadium is going to be one of the more anticipated regular season games that they've had in quite some time. But let's be clear here. This was a two-pronged approach. Number one, Jack Caglione absolutely deserved this. I don't think that they rushed him. I think they looked at his offensive production, and I don't know if another 50 ABs, I don't know if another 100 ABs was going to tell us anything that we don't know. The kid has major league power right now. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and he was comparing his Deadpool ability. They think he's already top five in baseball. We're talking about of all the players, just ability, just raw power. They think he's already top five in baseball if we're measuring it off that. So from a on-the-field perspective, I think Caglione has absolutely deserved this. I also don't want to pretend that we didn't see this weekend what we saw with the big league club. Their offense is drowning, and they pressed the only button that they could do to potentially save them, which is to call him up. So we'll see where he's going to play in the field tomorrow. I imagine he's going to play right field. We'll also see where he's going to hit in this lineup. And they are now committed to giving him the at-bats necessary to help you every day with the big league club. And maybe he swims, maybe he sinks, but you are done moving deck chairs around to try to save this offense. This is the team. It's Jonathan India. It is Mikel Garcia. It's Bobby Witt Jr. It's Vinny Pasquantino. It's Salvador Perez. It's Jack Caglione. This is the team for at least the next 6 weeks, and we'll see if this is the nucleus that can potentially help turn this offense around. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by J.J. Cooper, the managing editor of Baseball America. We've got you covered. The top story, Jack Caglione, the Royals' top prospect, has been called up. He will make his major league debut tomorrow in St. Louis here on 96.5 The Fan. Keep it locked in right here. So drive. I'm going to play this interview with J.J. Cooper here coming up in a bit. Normally, I would play it off like it's live, but I mean, I'd rather just tell you guys the truth today. I want to read this text message. CDOT, Dave Sampson of CBS Sports says that this is one of the more irresponsible moves that the Royals have made. He will hit arbitration a full year earlier than if they would have waited until June 17th to call him up. This could be a $10 million difference. I'd like to point out two things before we play the J.J. Cooper because I think this is important. Number one, since when have we started complaining about the Royals spending money? Because I'm from the school where the Royals payroll would be so bad, we'd be clamoring for them to go out and make a move. So if you were telling me that now we're worried about the Royals spending $10 million in the future, not immediately, we're talking about down the line, a player that we all think and expect to be very good, they're going to have to pay him eventually because of this move. Good. The second thing is their offense is drowning now. They might not be in it in 2 weeks with the offense that they have. Like, I'm looking right now at the wild card standings, and the Royals, if the playoffs started today, they'd be a game back. Now, we obviously got a long way to go, but those one or two games over the two-week stretch that we're talking about, that could be the difference in you winning 88 games and 86 games, which could be the difference of you making or missing the postseason. It's funny because we all watch this baseball team, but I don't think that we are really taking into account how serious their offense is. I remember we were having this conversation in the middle of the season and people were making the comparison to the Chiefs. Well, the Chiefs still made the Super Bowl, but their offense, the Chiefs' offense was 17th. The Chiefs' offense was average. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. Their offense simply was average. That's not what we're talking about with the Royals. The Royals' offense is bad. The Royals right now, they have only scored more runs than the Colorado Rockies. They're 9-50. The Royals right now are dead last in home runs by almost 10. The Royals have 34 home runs. The Pirates have 43. The White Sox have 47. They're 15 home runs back of the Rockies. The Royals' offense is a problem now. So, yes, there would have been some financial benefits to the Royals waiting a couple of weeks to do this. There's no question about it. I think this shows you that there's a new sheriff in town. I don't know if the old Royals would have done this. I think the old Royals would have made this decision a purely financial and not a baseball decision, and they would have wasted another 3 weeks of our time when we all felt Jack was ready, while Jack is hitting 350 down in the minor leagues, and they would have manipulated his service time to help them on the back end. But in a post-Bobby Witt Jr. contract world, I'm excited that this is the Royals that we're talking about. If I had told you 3 years ago that the Royals would have signed Bobby Witt Jr., you would have called me crazy. You would have called me a homer. They signed him to a deal. What's stopping the Royals if Jack Caglione has a really solid 18 months? What's stopping them from having another player locked into a very similar contract that gives you two of the best young hitters in baseball for the next decade? Those things now seem very realistic. So I applaud the Royals being aggressive and making the best baseball decision, even if it comes at the hands of what is potentially a lesser financial decision.
They had to do this. They had to. And it is separate from Cags earning it. And I agree with you, and you led the show with that. This was earned. AAA is not good enough for Jack Caglione. The fact that the Rockies are on pace to not even win as many games as the Royals have currently won, and they're the only team in the league that hasn't outscored the Royals, they're outslugging the Royals by a wide margin. It's embarrassing. What the Royals did to Chris Bubich yesterday in that effort cannot happen. I love Vinny Pasquantino. Saturday's game was awesome. They beat Skubal. They scored one run in two games. You're not going to win a whole lot doing that. You can't rely on this rotation to be historically great the rest of the way. It's definitely a two-sided coin. Cags earned it, but they do need a shot in the arm.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, the worry would be that the additional money would preclude them from keeping him. We're talking about $10 million. I know we're thinking way far ahead right now, but if the Royals lose Jack Caglione, it ain't going to be over $10 million. It'll be over $100 million. It'll be the Mets come in with the Juan Soto offer and the Royals simply can't match that. It'll be because the Dodgers come in or the Yankees come in with it. Trust me, the difference in losing Jack Caglione ain't $10 million. It's $110 million. So that's just not something I would worry my pretty little head about at this stage in his career. The Royals made by far and away the best baseball decision. They called up their second best offensive player. Now, maybe you want to say Mikel Garcia. Maybe you want to say Kyle Isbell. Okay, we are talking about one of the top five offensive players in their entire organization was called up. I'm not necessarily worried about the finances and what that means down the line. Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with J.J. Cooper from Baseball America. There are no better people to talk about when it comes to minor league prospects than the people over there at Baseball America. Our conversation with J.J. Cooper started with, this timetable has been moving and moving. I didn't think he would be up this year, and then it started to feel like an August thing. Then it started to feel like around the All-Star break, and now we are here on June 2nd talking about it. JJ, this thing has just happened way quicker, way sooner than anybody had anticipated.
I would say, to his credit, he's kind of forced a pretty quick timetable. Now, also, I would say that him being able to potentially fill needs that the Royals have works out for that pretty well, too. Obviously, he can provide power. This is a team that's kind of lacking in power. But to his, the main part of it is, it doesn't look like, especially at the plate, it doesn't look like that the minor leagues really have much to challenge him, and that forces a faster timetable.
JJ, as someone who has seen a lot of prospects, what are you seeing from him currently at the plate? Why do you think minor league baseball was so relatively easy for him?
He has some of the best power you're ever going to see as far as pure power. We saw that in college. We've seen that in the minors. I would expect you'll see this in the majors. Like, when you talk about Royals hitters who can hit the ball the furthest, right? Obviously, you don't get extra points. You don't get extra runs. You know, if a home run's 465 feet versus scraping over the wall. But at the same time, you probably are going to hit more home runs if you can hit a ball 465, 475 feet.
That's something that Jack can do. That's something that he did at Florida. That's something he's done in the minors. This is a guy who, I mean, that ballpark is always going to make it tough for anyone to hit a bazillion home runs. We've seen that over the years, obviously. Yeah, the list, there are a lot more great Royals hitters over the years than there are great Royals sluggers. But it would not surprise me at all if Jack ends up being one of the greatest sluggers that the Royals have ever had.
That's where, at least when I'm looking at this move, I kind of see it twofold. I see it from everything that you're talking about. The Royals offense certainly needs a boost. They need somebody that can help drive in runs and somebody with a little bit of power. I think he provides that for this team. I also think that he has shown great maturity in moving up the ranks. I also see this as the Royals kind of pressing the panic button when it comes to their offense this season. Their offense has just been really bad, and they need a boost desperately.
I would say this. The way that we had a scout talking to one of the other guys on our staff made the point. He said, look, Jack's just not going to get challenged in the minor leagues. It doesn't mean he won't struggle. It doesn't mean that at the major league level he may not have some adjustments to make. But he could spend another 100 games in AAA. He's not going to have to make those adjustments because they're not going to provide the challenge to do that. With all that being the case, you might as well bring him up. And maybe he hits the ground running, and you're talking about he's a middle-of-the-order bat from day one. But even if not, the way he's going to get to that point is by facing big-league pitching. Now, you know, we could talk about the defense. That's a little bit of a bigger question, especially if he's going to be playing the outfield a lot. But at the plate, there's really – you could kind of make the argument that if he's going to have – things that he has to learn, he's going to have to face big league pitchers to learn them. So there's no benefit to having to wait on that. And especially when with these kind of, he's really a good bad ball hitter and he has exceptional power. Maybe he just never has to go through those learning, you know, that learning curve that most mortal prospects have to go through.
Right now, we're talking to JJ Cooper with Baseball America, learning a little bit more about Jack Caglione. You've mentioned challenges a couple of times. What challenges do you think he hasn't faced so far? What challenges do you think he's about to face in his first 30 days in the majors?
He's always been a very aggressive hitter, right? Now, that hasn't really ever significantly come back to hurt him. This is the guy who hit over 400 at Florida in his draft year. But there's long been a thought that at some point, better pitching is going to take advantage of that aggressiveness. It's never happened, right? It hasn't happened in the minors at any level. We have a story up today at baseballamerica.com, the StatCast standouts we do every week, that kind of makes a note that his chase rate in AAA is getting better and better. So maybe he's making that adjustment without ever kind of facing the bad consequences of it. But if you told me that changeups and sliders gave him some issues in the majors, wouldn't shock me at all. He will kill a fastball if you leave it anywhere over the plate. He's going to, you know, you better be a good slider. It better be a good changeup. It's not going to be something where just any slop's going to do. But those are the challenges that I can see. Like, you can see that for almost any young hitter. I do offer kind of that a little bit of a reminder. If he has a great first month, that's great. If he has a terrible first month in the majors, people should go back and look what Mike Trout did the first time he came up to the majors. It's not always linear, but it is something where you want to see these developments happen pretty quickly.
JJ, reading the story last week from ESPN, they talked a lot about chase rate and strikeout rate. When you look at Jack, is that something that bothers you? Is that something that concerns you? Or is this just something that the modern baseball player is going to deal with because they just strike out more than players 10, 20 years ago?
Pitchers are way better than they were 20 years ago. So, yeah, they're going to strike out more. They throw harder. They throw nastier stuff. However, Jack is the kind of guy who has shown the ability to cope with that, and he's also shown, like, if you hit 35 homers, like, he's been a 300 hitter in the minors. He was a 400 hitter in college. If he's a 250 hitter in the majors, he could be a very good player.
One thing that I think excites me as someone that has watched this organization my entire life is you mentioned the possibility of him being a slugger. I'm just trying to think of how many of those guys that the Royals have even had in their organization. You mentioned it. They have had some great offensive players. they really haven't had many guys that you think have the ability to put the ball over the wall. The way that you describe his power, it sounds like he could be one of the rare breed of Royals prospects that we've seen in the last 10, 20 years or so.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is Bo Jackson type of raw power. That's what we're talking. I struggle. Jorge Soler, I guess, you know, he was a Royal for a while. He has someone who had that kind of raw power, but there aren't many. There are not many.
JJ, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball for Jack Caglione. Where do you project him playing? Do you think he's a first baseman? Do you think he's an outfielder? Where do you think he best fits in the field?
Ideally, he's a first baseman. I think that's his best position. I also completely understand, like, if you're the Royals, you're probably going to play him at right field, you know, left field, right field, depending on whichever is the smaller park. That's going to make a lot of sense for him because they need outfield help more than they need first base, DH. You've got Pasquantino. You know, obviously, Salvi played, you know, DH is a good bit now. Those positions are occupied a lot of nights. In the outfield, last I checked, as of yesterday, I think Kyle Isbell, you know, leads the outfielders with three homers. That could be a good week for Jack.
Right now, we're talking to J.J. Cooper with Baseball America here for a couple more minutes, learning a little bit more about Jack Caglione. Let's talk more about the outfield. What do young outfielders struggle with as he is making this development? This is not his natural position. He hasn't spent a lot of time in the minors playing in the outfield. What do young players struggle with when it comes to the outfield?
Well, he has some limitations that are just going to always be there, right? He's not the fastest guy in the world. And there is a certain amount of how much ground you cover depends on your foot speed. But the things that you do develop are, okay, how well do you read the ball off the bat, right? When the ball's hit, how long does it take you to realize where it's going and to make your move? And then do you go in the right direction, right? Do you take – can you figure out that, I mean, to sound mathematical about it, but can you figure out where the ball is going to land? Can you figure out that intercept point and run a direct route to get there, or is it a little bit more meandering? I will say for him, I've watched every play he's made in the outfield this year. He hasn't been brutal out there, right? He catches the ball. He's had mainly routine plays, but he catches those pretty well. The challenge that he is facing, that I think he will face, is he doesn't have great foot speed. And I know he's a two-way player in college. He also kind of, his arm, you know, his velocity really tailed off at the end of last season at Florida. I haven't seen the cannon so far in the outfield either. So that'll be also something to watch. Does he have that arm that he had on the mound where he was high 90s at times? Or is he not throwing like that as much anymore? So, like, again, I don't expect him to be horrendous out there. He looks like he's got some aptitude. But at the same time, don't expect him to be, you know, this is a team that at times was, you know, fielding Lorenzo Cain in center and Gerard Dyson in right. It's not going to be that either. He's not going to be that rangy kind of guy.
JJ, you and I were talking about this before we hopped on air, that you have some questions about Jack. Now that he's hit the major league, what questions do you have? What worries you a little bit, or what could be a problem for him as he makes this final step in his career?
I would say, like, I mean, again, it's hard for me to imagine him not being a productive big leaguer, especially guys who move like this, the hit rate on them is much higher than guys who take 5 years to figure it out. However, you know, there are still enough concerns. Like, there are a lot of ways where he ends up being a very good player and not a great player, and that's not a criticism, really, right? Like, you need good – not everyone's Bobby Witt Jr. You need good players to go around your great players. Jack might be a great player. He has a chance to be a home run champ. If he doesn't, if he ends up being kind of more of that low-average slugger, 230, 240, doesn't draw a bazillion walks, hits his homers, but that kind of gets kind of loses some of those to the state, the home stadium, the home park he plays at. He could be a good player then. And again, especially if you're talking about a first baseman, okay, you know, if he's a first baseman long term, the demands on the bat are pretty high. All these things. His defense could be pretty poor if he's in the outfield because he just doesn't have enough range. All these things could kind of keep him from being a great player. But it is at this point kind of hard for me to imagine him not being a useful player, a useful regular. And let's just be honest about it. That's a bar that 10 to 15 first-rounders a year fail to clear. And here we are less than a year after he was drafted, and we can say it seems very likely he's going to clear that bar.
So, JJ, let's go best case scenario. Let's say that he hits his absolute ceiling. What does that look like for him as a player? And let's say that he hits what you just mentioned. He is a good major leaguer. He is not a great major leaguer. He's not a guy that gets you to go buy a ticket, but he's a really solid complimentary piece on a good team. What player comparison is that for him?
So, best case, I would say he's, you know, and when I say Giancarlo Stanton, I'm sure that people are, you know, Giancarlo Stanton or Pete Alonso, you know, but again, don't think of Stanton right now. Think of Stanton as peak, kind of that home run champ type guy. And I'm struggling to come up with a player who's kind of that mid-level guy, but I'm kind of, what I'm thinking about there is a guy who hits 25 to 30 homers, strikes out a lot, doesn't provide a lot for you defensively or on the base pass, that kind of guy, who's still a good player, but, you know, not that all-star every year type player.
That is J.J. Cooper of Baseball America joining us on the show today. There is not many people right now that cover the game that know minor league prospects better than him. Really excited for Jack Caglione to make his major league debut on Tuesday against the St. Louis Cardinals. J.J., great stuff as always. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That is J.J. Cooper joining us on the show today. You know what, Nathan? It's not very often that I get to quote a Bible verse on this show. I might go with the Wire comparison. I might go with the NBA comparison. You know, I think sometimes I'm kind of predictable with the analogies. I don't know if you guys were anticipating a Bible verse reference when it comes to Jack Caglione. Nathan, there's a verse in Proverbs that talks about, to the hungry man, even bitter food tastes sweet. Have you seen the Royals outfield? It can't be any worse than what we've already seen. So maybe Jack Caglione is bad defensively. You know what? I think I can put up with that. When you've been eating the food that they've been serving us for the first two and a half months of the season, I don't care what Jack Caglione looks like he's out there. Can he hit? Can he give you something on offense? If Cags can be a 260 hitter with a little bit of pop and can get on base, he can be out there playing hacky sack with the ball. That would be such an improvement of what they currently have out there defensively. That's perfectly fine with me if that's how you were telling me. I doubt he's that bad defensively, but if you were telling me the negative on Cags is he's a below average defensive player, that is a gamble that I'm willing to take, because I saw Hunter Renfroe start opening day for this team in right field. They were giving consistent ABs to MJ Melendez out in the outfield. I'm telling you, it can't be worse for their outfield by bringing up Jack Caglione.
Yeah, you know who else has not been great in the outfield, C-Dot? 487 OPS hitter Michael Massey. Below league average hitter Jonathan India. I think we're okay if Jack Caglione is not a gold glove winner right off the bat in the outfield.
Can you hit? Because right now, they don't have a lot of guys that can answer that question. Yes, being a good team defensively is important. And with the spacious outfield that you have at Kauffman, I'm not here to tell you that having outfield defense is not important to the Royals. They're dead last in home runs. The only team that they have scored more runs than in Major League Baseball is the Colorado Rockies. They have a problem on the offensive side. And if you were telling me that now they are going to inject maybe the biggest breath of life that they possibly can at this juncture into the season to their lineup, I can live with whatever negatives you think that they could potentially have on the defensive side of the field. Coming up on the other side, yesterday or this weekend, we saw the end of NBA on TNT. And social media was going through, and they were giving us some of their favorite memories from inside the NBA. And you know what? I'm inclined to also take that trip down memory lane with you guys. We'll take a break from talking about Jack Caglione. We will be back to it coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. We got Denny Matthews scheduled on the show. I got a cross-sport comparison with Jack Caglione. You didn't think I was going to leave my basketball bag. You know I got a good cross-sport comparison when it comes to Jack Caglione. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. So this weekend, we saw the end of NBA on TNT. Kevin Harlan, he is going over to Amazon. Reggie Miller is going to go over to NBC. And NBA on TNT is no more. Inside the NBA is going to be licensed through ESPN. So a very similar broadcast agreement that they have with the Pat McAfee show. Pat McAfee puts on his own show and ESPN is allowed to distribute the show, but they don't have any creative control over it. So the hope, the expectation is that's going to be the future of Inside the NBA. We'll see if it works that way. It is a very different kind of show than Pat McAfee's show. They really don't have an end time for Inside the NBA. Sometimes it's a 30-minute show. Sometimes it's an hour-and-a-half show. Sometimes it's 2 hours. Like, part of the beauty of the show, if you watch it, is it doesn't really have a whole lot of structure because TNT's programming is very different than ESPN's programming. ESPN runs SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. TNT is preempting Law & Order SVU reruns after the game. No one really cares about the content that's coming on after Inside the NBA. So they are given a little bit more latitude to kind of do as they will than I think they will over at ESPN, but it's all premature. I don't know how it's going to work. So this weekend on the Twitter timeline, they were going through some of their favorite memories on Inside the NBA. So I got to play you my favorite one. This is my favorite Charles Barkley rant, so to speak.
Disappointing on us. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. We're not even gonna sit near the Cancun. We're gonna sit near the Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach. Y'all okay? Y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all and y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
Hearing a lot of these audio clips, and we'll keep playing some for you. We'll get back to Jack Haglione coming up at the top of the hour. Allow us to take a trip down memory lane with Charles Barkley. No one's ever been mad at that. It put into perspective how funny this show is. Sometimes I think Inside the NBA struggles with the basketball analysis part of it, and not where I would go to get my basketball analysis, but it doesn't really matter. I do think the show is great when it is kind of reacting to the top story of the day and whatever the issue is. And when it comes to moments like this, Charles' humor, his wittiness, how he plays off the other castmates on the show, the respect and love that all four of these men clearly have for one another. Inside the NBA is an absolutely hilarious show. And I'm watching all of these memories. I'm seeing ones that I completely forgot about.
I got two words for you. Steve Nash and Chris Paul, must-see TV.
That's more than two words.
You didn't say two words. You said quick to the point.
You just said I got two words. Steve Nash and Chris Paul, must-see TV.
That's why I messed up, because I was trying to think of two words. I could have said that. Okay.
Two words.
Nash and Paul.
That's three words.
That's three words.
I completely forgot about the bit that they did where Shaq did the one chip challenge and he bet Charles Barkley that he wouldn't make a face, that he would just eat it and then he wouldn't have any kind of reaction to it. And then Shaq started coughing and they're like, wait, you lost. And then they were going back and forth and they were arguing about that. There were just so many hilarious memories from Inside the NBA. Nathan, do you have one? Is there one that pops to your mind when it comes to Inside the NBA that makes you laugh?
That two words, I quote that in my circle of friends all the time, C-Dot. I know I'm going chalk there, but anytime someone says something along the lines of, you know, it's just that this, or the point is simple, and then they go more than a word or two, it's just, you go right to, I got two words for you, or you just go to Nash and Paul. I don't know, that one's never going to get old for me.
We'll play a couple more here when it comes to Inside the NBA. It is just absolutely hilarious. One thing that I do hope that they continue on the show is I hope they continue Who He Played For. It's just become a yearly tradition and a yearly staple, Who He Played For. Well, Charles Barkley has absolutely no clue what team a certain guy is on in the NBA, and then they'll have the same player, and they'll do that for like 6 or 7 years. You would think that Charles studies and works ahead, and Charles always makes the same joke. Why in the world would I watch this team? And I don't know. There's something about it every single year that just absolutely cracks me up. Inside the NBA, at least the TNT version of it, is coming to an end, and we'll see what changes we could potentially see for that show as we are heading over to ESPN. So let's play for you guys earlier today. Josh Vernier was on Bob Fesco's show. Here he is about the expectations that he has for Jack Caglione.
I expect him to be replaced late in games defensively. If you find yourself in a one-run game, I don't think you're going to keep him out there in right field, so you're going to lose the bat. That could come back and bite you in a few games. You know, the concern that the team had with Cags was chase rate, swinging outside the zone. But again, he's so big and so strong that even when he would swing outside the zone, Dusty, I think you guys saw it on Friday, his final single was a fastball on the shoe tops, and he just laced it to center field because, again, he's so big, so strong, and so immensely
talented. Keep Elijah talented. On used to say this to me all the time.
You know, if you have a high chase rate, that can be exploited at the big leagues. You know, we see plenty of guys get here, learn that lesson that they were unable to learn in Omaha, and you know, ultimately need to go back to AAA to work on that issue before returning back to the big leagues. But again, Cags is immensely talented. Do I expect him to be a 320 hitter like he was throughout his minor league career? No. But as J.J. Cooper told Cody and Gold last week, this is a guy that, you know, is going to hit 250, 260, but could lead Major League Baseball in home runs and will certainly wear out the gaps at Kauffman Stadium. So, yeah, my expectations are for him to be a threat. You know, someone that in the pitchers meeting tomorrow morning in St. Louis, his name comes up very quickly. We can't let Bobby beat us, and this Cags kid has legit pop.
I think we should already be there. I think he's certainly shown that down in the minor leagues that if you give him a meatball over the middle of the plate, he is absolutely going to crush it. So that is a conversation that the Cardinals or the White Sox this weekend, they need to be having that conversation off the jump. I do think some form of this is just added protection for Bobby Witt Jr. We talked about his power numbers being a little bit down, the RBI numbers being a little bit down. A lot of that has just been there's no one else in this offense that you think can give Bobby really any consistent support. Maybe that's a tough thing to throw on Jack Caglione at this stage in his career. Maybe that's something he develops into, but you certainly just need more pop, more threats, more power in this Royals lineup than we currently have right now. Here is Vern on why he believes that the Royals officially pressed the button to bring up Jack Caglione.
Yes, the awful offense and the series loss and the division title hope slipping away sure was part of the reason why we see Cags today, but I do think there's a belief within this front office that, and there's a little bit of disappointment, just a little bit of disappointment with it, that the lessons that they were hoping Cags would learn in the minor leagues before he became that finished product ready for the big leagues, I don't think he can learn it at AAA. So he's going to have to take those licks, likely at the big league level, and we'll see how he responds. But, you know, Dusty, you bring up a great point. You know, you talk about the chase rate, and then you look at his plate appearances this past week, and it's almost it's Bobby Witt Jr. like in that I remember his first spring training, his first season, right? He was below average defensively, and you know, here's what they would say: "Hey, Bob, we need you to work on this, this, and this." And the next time they would see Bobby, he would have this, this, and this perfected. He was, you know, a high aptitude player, and I think Jack Caglione might be that as well. You give him a task, give him something to work on. You know, right field to go along with that chase rate. I'm not really worried about right field. The chase rate was concerning. It was impressive what he did this past season. Sure, he's going to find a difficult stretch or two at the big league level, but who doesn't? No, I think it has more to do with Cags than the offense. I would say 60-40 Cags is why he's here.
I think that's a fair assessment. I do think that Cags has sort of forced their hand. Now, what I will say is maybe how quickly he got called up is in relation to their offense. I mean, I don't think that they wanted to call him up before the date, but their offense this week in scoring back-to-back games where they gave you virtually no run support, I do think it was a combination in the intersection of those two things. His play has forced this decision, and their offense is just, it's bad. It is bad, and they have done everything they can in the last 30 days to try to fix their offense. Right now, it just continues to be one of their biggest problems, if not their biggest problem. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.